Why are people burning down buildings and all of that? Listen, racism, hatred, murder, bigotry, prejudice, anti-Semitism, love one, that is not from God. It is from the wicked one. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and thank you for tuning in for the midweek broadcast of Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill teaches the message, Know His Methods, from his continuing study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Now here's Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. We're nearly finished with this great epistle, and we're going to begin this morning in verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let me go ahead and just read a few verses to you. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." And the church says, amen. You know, we've learned a lot from last Sunday. You know, no one likes talking about the wicked one. So, you know, when we go through this spiritual warfare series that we're doing by concluding this great epistle, remember that the devil, he is not God. Amen. He's not even like God in any way, any form, any fashion. He is a defeated, fallen angel. Amen? He is a created being. He is not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not omnipotent, meaning he's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He can't be everywhere at the same time. He's limited. And he's also defeated. Amen? No. I said he is also defeated. Amen. Remember what I said last Sunday. When you read about the wicked one in the Bible, whether it's the God of this age or the wicked one or Lucifer, whatever title God gives him in the Word, always preface it in your heart and mind by saying, he's defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Amen. He no longer has the power over death. Amen. No, Jesus has the key of hell and death. Amen? So we need to remember those things. We also need to remember that he exists again, but he exists defeated. But one more thing. Remember from last Sunday, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Verse 10 is paramount. If you don't begin right there, it's not your strength. It has to be God's strength. Amen? The devil rejoices to find believers that try, well-meaning Christians who think that by their wisdom or their human strength that they can defeat him, the defeated one. No, they can't. The weapons of our warfare, the Bible says, are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So with all of that being said, if you don't start right there in verse 10, might as well prepare yourself for an unworthy walk instead of a worthy walk that we've been called to. Remember, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear the Word of God, you do the Word of God. Now, Jesus told us, he said, you can do absolutely nothing without me. We need the strength of the Lord to battle and know the methods of this enemy. Last Sunday, know the enemy. This Sunday, know his methods, and they are many. Remember that Satan's main goal, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, yes, but his main goal is not to destroy humanity, all of mankind. His main goal, his main desire is to have all humanity under his dominion, under his authority, under his rule. He wants the whole world, as you get into the book of Revelation, you'll find he wants the whole world to worship him. He wants God's place. He wants to sit as God, showing himself that he is God, but he's not. Amen? So now that we know all of those things, remember that from last Sunday where I said, know the enemy, For he knows you. He knows all about you. The demons of this world, they know your weaknesses and so forth. So like I told the early service, you know, what's wonderful about knowing God's word is this, is that, you know, the devil or the demons of this world, they attack our weaknesses to make us weaker. They know the areas of our life that we're weak in. But God, our Father, he doesn't attack our weaknesses. He protects us. Amen? But he does come against our strength when we think we can do something, when we think that we have it together. Listen, no, no, no. Like I said a moment ago, you know, with Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and life, because Satan's goal, remember, is to come and disable the new creation and the new man. That's what he wants. So what we have to do now is know about the methods of the wicked one, the schemes and the trickery and so forth. And that's what we're going to be learning this morning, beginning in verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles, the methods, the strategies, if you will, the trickery of the devil. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the age, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Paul gives us four, there's probably many more, I don't know, but four specific areas of Satan's involvement. So number one, we know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We do know what we do wrestle against, the principalities and powers. And now we know where his methods, his strategies are planned there in the heavenlies. Now, with all of that being said, it's very important to just key in on one word, and that is the word wrestle. You notice that Paul uses the word against five times. The word against there literally is like a face-to-face contest. And then he uses the word wrestle. I promise you, whenever Paul there in prison, when he penned Ephesians and sent it to the church at Ephesus, they're full of all those Gentile believers, when they read the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, of course, he didn't have chapters back then, and they got to the word wrestle, there must have been surely a quietness that came over the entire congregation that heard the word of God being read to them. Because the word wrestle there, only used by Paul and only used there, is a very important word. And Paul used that word or that illustration of that word to show us the seriousness of the conflict that the believer is in against the unseen realm. The word wrestle there that he used, whenever they read it, I'm sure because, see, the first century Greeks, you know, they had the great wrestling matches, same word that's used for them, but here as well. What happened to those who lost those matches that were in the wrestling event? I don't know. I've heard someone say they voted for Trump. I don't think that is it. No, they had their eyes immediately gouged out. Yes, they would be blinded for the rest of their life. So Paul used that illustration for you, for them, for me, and say, listen, you are in a real war. You have a real enemy, and you can't let up. You have to be on guard. Amen? See, this world is not our home, and we are in a war whether we like it or not. So he says, here's what, guys. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not having a contest, a wrestling match with each other. Amen? Yeah, and that's exactly one of Satan's greatest methods. I see it. You've seen it. It's a heartbreaking thing. We don't fight each other. Satan doesn't want us to fight him. He doesn't want us to stand up and fight the powers of darkness. But oh, he loves for a believer to fight another believer, to gossip or slander or spread lies and rumors. You know what I'm saying? Oh, listen, that's what he does. The devil says, oh, listen, here's a strategy. Don't fight darkness. Tear apart the light of the world. Wound each other. Cause division. Sow all kinds of junk into the body of Christ. Listen, our greatest enemy is not what we see with our eye. The greatest enemy is what we do not see, and that is that spiritual realm of darkness to which Satan is, of course, head. So it grieves me. I hope it grieves you. You know, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I have seen division occur, and it, to me, I don't know that anything breaks my heart more than to see the children of God, the blood-bought, blood-washed children of God, have conflict one with another. Woe to those who sow discord. Amen. Yes, that's what the Lord says. You know, there's six things, yea, even seven, that God hates, and one of them is who divides the church, who sows discord and so forth. And the reason is because it's of the wicked one. It's not from God. God doesn't want his body divided and arguing and all those things, schisms and so forth. No, listen, here we are, we're the church, we're called into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Why in the world would we want to be out of fellowship with each other? No, the Bible tells us that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, yet there's a lot of Christians today that are. You know, sowing of discord that the devil does through believers in the church, one of his methods is so obvious. Loved one, listen, when you think about that, even Paul the Apostle in, I think it's Romans 16, 17, right in that area, he warns the church against anyone. He says, if you see someone causing division, he said, number one, you mark them. Number two, you avoid them. Anyone you see that is hindering the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church by causing discord, he says, check them out and get away from them. Boy, that's a heavy word. So that's what the devil does. We do not fight flesh and blood. And you know, if you watch anything on the news, which man, I have limited my news lately, you know, the devil, is he having a heyday in our nation right now? Oh, look at our nation fighting against one another. Oh, it is heartbreaking. And you know what? The fingerprints of the devil from California to the White House, they're all over our nation, aren't they? And I mean, you look and you see the things that are happening. I mean, why is America divided right now? You know, I was talking to a gentleman earlier, and he was talking to me about child trafficking. And I said, it's interesting. You know, this morning about 3:30, I removed that from my text. I was going to mention it. I was going to say, which is not in my notes, but I put it back in right now. Why are our streets flooded with children being sold as sex slaves in our own nation? Why in God's name is that happening? Think about that for a minute. Why is there so much hate in our nation this very minute? Why are people burning down buildings and all of that? Listen, racism, hatred, murder, bigotry, prejudice, anti-Semitism, loved one, that is not from God. It is from the wicked one. Amen? And the problem is the fallen man in our nation, they don't, well, who's the devil? I don't believe in the devil. That's good. The devil loves to be denied. See, the devil works in fallen man. He works, the Bible says, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, those who are outside of Christ. They don't know Christ. You know, John Phillips, the great expositor, just went home to be with the Lord not too long ago. Let me read what he said about fighting flesh and blood. He says, our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, to lie to us, to cheat us, to hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world, moving people as pawns on a chessboard of time. As long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our strength in vain. All of that, loved one, things can look innocent, but when we are fighting each other, there's a problem. Amen? Oh, we need to be careful. Now, that is a very known method of the devil. I didn't even probably have to say that to the church, but there might be some new Christians and so forth, and they didn't know that. But there's another thing that we fight against. It says there again in verse 12, against principalities. That's a very important word. It means beginning. Like, for example, the beginning of a rule, or here's the beginning of the line, and I just drew a line. So the Bible says that he who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. He's the one who started that little line, and it's still going on. And then he also said, remember, the Bible teaches us, it says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. that line. He started right there. The first sin we learned last Sunday occurred in heaven, not upon earth, when he rebelled against God, let all those angels, fallen angels now with him, cast out of heaven. So that line started with him, and he's still drawing that line today because that's a major principality. That is where Satan rules, and it says principalities, plural. So there are many, evidently, under Satan's rule. But never forget that Jesus Christ, our Lord, we learned last Sunday, remember Colossians 2:15, he has stripped the principalities and powers. He's led them captive in triumph, and he did so in the cross when he died. The devil has been stripped, amen? Thank God for that. Jesus Christ is above everything that can be named, everything. There's not a name, Ephesians 1:21 and following, there is not a name given among men that's higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's above every principality, every power, every authority. He's seated at the right hand of God. All authority and power in heaven and earth has been given unto him, amen? Matter of fact, the Bible says you're complete in him, Colossians 2:9 and 10. It says you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And you can go to Romans and Romans 8:38, right in that area, and it says, you know, I'm persuaded that neither death or life, principalities and powers will ever be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from God. Do you understand? If you are a Christian, if he purchased you, I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of anything in this world. You don't have to be ruled by the pandemic. You don't have to be ruled by anything but the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And that's so important for us to know. Now, not only principalities, look at the next one. It says against powers. That Greek word is dunamis, which is the power, supernatural power, if you will. And so it's this here means demons who have power, but they're under the control, of course, of the wicked one. So our world that we live in, there is a mass of spiritual wickedness, demons and so forth. They're all over the world that we live in. Remember that they were created like Lucifer. They were created good. Amen? They lived in heaven. They knew God. They worshiped God. And yet, they followed Satan into that rebellion and so forth. And they were cast out. There's something else you need to know about these demonic powers. And I'm going to talk about that later on in the next couple of times that we're together. A demon is a parasite. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? And email me if I'm wrong. But there has never been in the New Testament, a manifestation of a demon manifesting himself. Now, the devil manifested himself to the Lord, remember, in the temptation scene, but not a demon. Demon, they are parasites. They have to have a host, okay? And what they do, when they find the host, they found a house. And then they're able to manifest their wicked, horrible personality through the individual, whether it is possession or sometimes oppression, okay? So remember Legion. Remember there, I think it's Mark's gospel, and Jesus was going to cast him out and so forth and said, oh, why are you come to torment us before our time? The demon, you know, demons talk, okay? And they even know who Jesus was. Of course they do. And Jesus said, what is your name? Remember the man in the tombs with all the chains and all that? And he said, oh, my name is Legion. Did you know demons can talk? You know demons have names? Hello. And Jesus sent them out, and where did they go? They had to have a host. They said, oh, please send us into the pigs or whatever, the swine. And then the swine ran over the hill and they all died and so forth. Well, you know, the word legion means 2,000. Can you imagine being inhabited by 2,000 demons? So this is the realm, loved one, that we are fighting. They hate you. They hate me. They hate God. They hate mankind. They are, each one of them, they are there, they're an extension of the wicked character of Satan himself. And not only that, Satan's methods, of course, are their methods, and the main goal of the demonic realm is to prevent the lost from receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. Boy, they don't want anyone to come to the Lord. And look what else we fight against. Against the rulers, that's plural, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Now, that's only there in the Greek right here in this scripture. And it literally means, you should read this way, the world rulers of darkness. Plural again. Satan and all of his angels, that the world system that is antichrist, they want nothing to do with God. They don't want God in any of their thinking, any of their thought life at all. They want God completely removed. Jesus himself called Satan the ruler of this world in John 12:31 and in John 14:30. He said, you're the ruler of this world. And what a title. Now listen carefully. They're the ruler of darkness. Whenever a person is not born from above, it's so easy for the powers of darkness to just keep them there. You know what I mean? It's not hard at all. It's so easy to keep the ones that are in darkness, the lost, in darkness. They attack the mind and so forth. Remember what Jesus told us in John 3:19, you know, about, he says, you know, the light has come, but men did not, they didn't want anything to do with the light. They loved darkness, for their deeds were evil. And that's what's going on with those that are lost. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:8 about us, the believer, for we were once, past tense, we were once darkness, not in darkness, but darkness. Think about that. Talking about this darkness here. Ephesians 4:18 tells us that our understanding, when we were lost, our understanding was darkened. We didn't have the light of the glory of God or the Holy Spirit working in our life. We were natural man. We were an Adam. We were fallen. Man, so what does the devil do? Now, listen carefully. This is very important about when you witness to people. You have to know his methods. The devil or the demons, the devil can't be everywhere. So he has his army of hosts, okay? But what they love to do about the lost is they allow lost people to live in undisturbed darkness. Do you understand? They don't shake the boat or rattle the cage or whatever you want to call it. They don't want to wake up the lost people. In other words, remember, the whole world lies in the sway, lies unconscious in the arms of the wicked one. The whole world system, those that are outside of Christ, boy, they don't want that at all. See, if they're in darkness, they're comfortable with darkness because that's all they've ever known. They find joy in darkness and peace in darkness, but they don't know that they're doing that. Does that make sense? Oh, listen, I'm telling you what, they are held captive in darkness by the prince of darkness, and they can't get free unless the church wakes them up. And that's what we're called to do. We're in a war, loved one. This is not reality. This is not reality. No, this reality here is going to pass away. The true reality is home. Amen? Yes. Jesus told us about darkness. Jesus said in John 12:46, I've come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide, should not dwell, should not live in darkness. So that is one of the methods of Satan. Another method, a strategy, or I sound like George Bush, strategery, you know? You know what I mean? No, listen, is that he does something. He has the incredible ability, this defeated wicked one, Satan himself has the ability to transform himself into an angel of light, the Bible says. The word transform there means to masquerade oneself or to disguise oneself. He is a master of light. He is a master of disguise, making things look good, but they're not good. Does that make sense? He has some sort of ability for the world. He can make darkness look pleasing. And the way he does it is he makes it look like light. So, so important, loved one. Listen, or makes it seem like light, I should say. Not only that, he's so subtle. He is so experienced because he's watched mankind since the garden. He is so subtle that what he does, he makes evil appear as innocent. He can take something and make it look innocent or so natural or so right and so forth. He can put a person in bondage by the innocent things that happens. For example, you go to the doctor. It's a good thing to go to the doctor. You need to keep yourself checked up, amen? But then let's say that the doctor says, well, you know what you really need is, because of this, you need to get on some kind of, or whatever you call that, oxycodone, and that's that pain stuff, right? And he's your doctor. And they write a script. Yeah, thank you. And it starts alleviating your pain. But here's the thing. Let me show you how subtle that is. Did you pray about it? Did you seek God about it? Did you really pray about it? Because listen, when pain is being relieved out of your body, thank God. Amen.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in again. We appreciate you listening along with us today. May the Lord bless the remainder of your day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.